Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
7 o'clock hour. That's right. The moving vans are here. Actually, we're all in the same company and we're not going anywhere. We'll still be right here in these studios.
We're not even going to move down to the other side of the building.
Just change banners, maybe?
All we're going to do is change banners, most likely, and get some new swag.
Yeah, different
for the station.
Switch, FM, the image.
They'll probably get us some new polos, and that's about it.
This banner behind me, the 610 Sports Radio one, that Cody and Gold, they're going to have to change this thing out.
Yeah, that sounds like a them problem.
Well, this whole banner next behind me here is going to have to go somewhere.
That's they'll probably keep it up there because, you know how it is.
But it's cool. It's the only FM sports station in the city. It's that time of year. It's not the time of year. It's the time,
Yeah, this is not usually the time of year where teams, where radio stations rebrand and all of that. But, hey,
it's before football season.
It's before football season. I'm excited. I was surprised hearing that the Chiefs were going to be making the jump over here. I was really excited about that part. So that's really cool. You can obviously still listen to them on the Wolf, the games on the Wolf this year. I was really excited about that part. That part and then Mizzou, too, coming over from KMBZ. That was really awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool.
So we're basically the home of Kansas City sports, basically.
On 96.5 The Fan or right here, 610 Sports Radio.
Yes. Yeah. Very excited about this.
We've got other fun stuff, too, coming up. This fall, as far as the lineup there, I don't think it'll probably be a mixture of different voices you hear during the week at night. So you might hear from us all at some point, Chris. Not sure what they're going to do. You might hear Chris and I together. We don't know.
We'll see.
Chris and I do work together a lot.
We do work together every week. So, yeah, we're pretty familiar with each other.
Well, we've been doing everything since you've been here 11 years. So I think I've been 12. So it's just the year before we did the high school football show together. We've done a lot of crap.
The high school football show was funny. It's like, what is it now? 8 years ago that we did that.
Yeah.
And it feels like it was so much longer ago.
So yep. That was fun. We had that earthquake that came over that one day before
I don't remember. It was funny. I was on 35 and I didn't even feel it. They didn't even notice it.
By the way, CeeDee Lamb, do you know that one of the great receivers in the NFL
maybe
is not at camp?
You can make a case he's the best. It's either him, Tyreek, or Justin Jefferson.
But CeeDee Lamb, someone tweeted out named John Machada, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones on contract talks with CeeDee Lamb. I don't have any urgency to get it done, quote. And then CeeDee Lamb is quick.
He's an LOL.
He's
an LOL real quick, which is like, look, if you were trying
to... McCarthy's getting fired, man.
If you were trying to negotiate a contract with a player, why the hell would you say that? Like, this is the reason why I appreciate about, Brett Veach and the Chiefs. Even when we know they're lying, even when we know they have no intention of signing a player, like, you remember, what was it, 3 years ago with Tyrann Mathieu? We knew damn well Tyrann Mathieu was playing his last year on the team. We hoped that he would stay on the team because we all thought really good player. We'd love to see him still on the team. But we all knew the writing was on the wall. The Chiefs the entire season were like, we'd love to have Tyrann Mathieu back. Like, they did everything they could to tell us we want these guys back, even though we knew that they had no intention of keeping him. I want that. I don't want the owner going out there and saying, yeah, actually, we're not really that interested in trying to get a deal going. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. Don't piss off your player.
Yeah, sometimes just being quiet is the way to do things.
Yeah, just say nothing.
Under the radar, just
do the political answer of, hey, we'd like to have him back. We'll see what happens.
You know their phone number.
Yeah.
Go ahead and call it.
Yeah, you got his agent on speed dial. Just do that.
Yeah.
Don't go out here
Play in the media.
Don't play in the media. It's never smart to do that. Not player, not general manager. Neither side it's ever a good idea unless you're in a situation where you're kind of being wronged by your team. But like, I didn't like the way what happened with Chris Jones last year because him and his agents were playing in the media. And like at the end of the day, ended up working for Chris Jones mainly just because he played so great, especially in the playoffs. That's why he got paid, not because of what his agents did. But like, if he didn't play well last year, like, they would have looked like some bozos out there in that situation, the way they handled the offseason. So
sure.
I just don't like playing in the media like that. I'm glad. I hope he gets – I always hope that these players get their money that they've earned. That's why I was glad that Chris Jones got his money, because he absolutely earned it last year. CD, I thought, earned his money last year, really the last few years.
Yeah.
So I hope he earns it. And I hope he gets it from
the exploding receiver market. You're going to pay it. He's one of the top NFL receivers. I could make a case with him or Justin Jefferson, even though I put Ja'Marr Chase pretty close up there too. But
yeah, I mean, I would say right now, I would give it to Justin Jefferson. But yeah, I mean, I think you can make a case for CD. You can still make a case for Tyreek, even though I think Tyreek has some glaring weaknesses with size. And, you know, we saw what happened with Snead bullying him in the two games that they played against the Chiefs. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great receivers in there, and CD is definitely one of the best ones.
No question about it. Before we dive into what Andy Reid said in Mahomes, I got a hot take for you. So Justin Herbert's in the walking boot now, right? So he's in the walking boot, and
yes,
it's that plantar fasciitis. You never know. These are the type of lingering injuries. Adam Schefter the other day kind of talked about it, you know, like how it might be holding him back.
Now to a developing story in L.A. Adam, what can you tell us about the Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert?
Hannah, doctors have diagnosed him with plantar fascia in his right foot, and they're recommending that he stay in a walking boot for approximately 2 weeks before beginning a gradual return to play ramp up. And the expectation right now is they believe he should be ready for the regular season opener against the Las Vegas Raiders. But let me say this. Number one, this is not how you want to start out your summer. This is not how you want to have your quarterback dealing with a walking boot if you're the new head coach of the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh. And this is the type of injury that stays with a player for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
He may be back for the regular season opener. That may be the expectation, but he's going to be playing through some discomfort in that foot, I think, potentially, for the whole season.
Yeah, I mean, listen, anybody who's had that.
I mean, this could be really big, because clearly it's Mahomes, Herbert, and a huge Grand Canyon-sized gap between other quarterbacks in this division. But as we sit right now, active practicing players, is Carson Wentz the second-best quarterback in this division? If
no,
Justin Herbert's
no.
not practicing, who's better?
I'll take Justin Herbert in a walking boot.
No.
Carson Wentz. I'll take Justin Herbert in a walking boot over Carson Wentz.
No way.
Yes, I would.
No way.
He could have like one of those little like rolling scooters where they're like on the knee on that rolling scooter. I'll take him on the rolling scooter over Carson Wentz.
I'll still take Carson
Wentz. I've seen Carson Wentz play enough football. I'll tell you this. If something, God forbid, and I'm knocking on wood really hard right now, something ever happened to Mahomes this year, man, I don't have any faith in Carson Wentz.
I actually like him. I like the way he's spinning the ball right now.
I don't care how good he's looking.
He's trying to resurrect training his career.
Well, yeah, he's trying to make money. And no, he's – no. We know who Carson Wentz is.
And I know this is what AD prefers. You know, the Matt Moores of the world.
Yeah, he wants his guys having experience.
You know what? If we need a 98-yard drive, we expect you to do it because you're not going to compete on your legs. That's exactly what they got from Chad Henne against the
Jaguars. I'm not expecting it, but it'd be nice if we could get that.
That's what you get. Andy Reid, this is what he had to say on what he's wanting to see Saturday night.
All those young guys, I'd love to see how they compete. You know, the higher the draft picks, they're going to be in there, a little bit better competition. So want to see how they handle that.
And I'm really, really wanting to see those draft picks as well. Matter of fact, that's a redeeming quality of this game to me, because we literally every position set, except if you want to see Kingsley, Suamatia. What are you expecting from that? Here's Patrick Mahomes on Kingsley.
And you got to just trust that he's gonna go out there and make the plays happen. He's done a great job this camp, going against a lot of different type of rushers. Obviously, it's going to be a great challenge. I don't know how much their starters are going to play, but going against the defense ends with Walker and with Allen Hines. And so I think just him going up against some of the best is going to even bring out the best in him. And that's what you have to expect. And then for everybody, I mean, everybody that's going to be out there. And so that's what it's all about. I got to trust in those guys in order to go out there and play the game that I want to play. And so I'll let him go out there and be the football player that he's been on camp.
Well, they've definitely trusted him, Chris. They trusted him right away. To when the pads came on, he was out there as a starter. They do a rotation with him and Wanye, but it's Kingsley's job. And the best news for Kingsley is they have not broken off a phone call to Donovan Smith or David Bakhtiari. They haven't broken off that phone call yet, so that's good for them.
Oh, I think that the chance to make that phone call would have been like a month ago if they really were not confident in that role. You know, we said it like if it was going to happen, it was going to have to happen before mandatory because you got to get a guy back into shape. I mean, you call Donovan Smith right now, it's going to take him a little bit to get back into football shape.
Unless he's out there grinding.
Unless he's grinding, but like I don't know. I'm sure if I was Donovan Smith and it's August 8th and you still haven't gotten a call, I'm probably not going to hit the gym up. I'm going to hit my trainer up. I was like, yeah,
Cancun.
Actually, I think I'm good. I'm just going to chill wherever I'm at. And, you know, I'm going to watch football this year.
With his Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, yeah. He's got his little rings. He's got his two rings there. So, you know, he's living good. But, yeah, I mean, if I were in his, like, I think at this point now, we're well beyond let's go sign a veteran left tackle. And the fact that Sua Mataia has been getting all of those first team reps since they put the pads on, which is the real time where you start to evaluate a player and all you're hearing is good things about him. Hey, he's getting better every practice. Every rep, he looks better. It's like, okay, well, now at this point, let's see what he can do.
And he's really good, too, when he gets out in space. Like, he shows that athleticism when he gets out in space. Was actually been playing backup right tackle to Juwan. They have more left tackle. So he's a very valuable piece, play him at guard or whatever. So Vanya is still somebody they're going to count on to this point. It is a starter, but you'll probably see him down the line as well. Mahomes also counting on Isaiah Pacheco even getting better as a receiver.
He's done a great job. He would run routes. Coach Reed would put him out there, let him run some type of route, some shorter routes, some deeper routes that he hadn't ran before, and some read routes that necessarily aren't for running backs, and he's done a great job with that. He wants to be great. I mean, he's done a great job running the football for us. He's done a great job catching out of the backfield, but if he can catch it from the slot or from a receiver type position, it's just going to help him be even a better football player.
Isaiah Pacheco last year, listen, I know that the Chiefs really value Isaiah Pacheco. They like him. I know the fan base really likes Isaiah Pacheco, one of the most popular guys on the Chiefs, to be honest with you. I do not see him getting a second contract when that comes up for the Chiefs. This will be his third year playing. They typically sign those four-year contracts. Last year, targeted 49 times to the passing game. He had 44 catches for 244 yards. I'm expecting probably at least 60 for 350 to 400 from Pacheco this year in the receiving game.
I would like to see that. I mean, I really want to see them use Pacheco the way that they were using Kareem Hunt, where he was a weapon in the run game, a weapon in the passing game. And that was one of that's the one thing they haven't quite done as much as they did with Kareem is let's use him in that passing. And I think a part of that is because they haven't had a legitimate deep threat in his time on the team. Now you do have a legit deep. You got two legit deep threats with Hollywood and with Xavier. So now that's going to open things up for those guys underneath. Obviously, Rashi Rice, obviously, Travis Kelce. But then in the real short game, that's where Pacheco can really eat up. And yeah, if they establish their deep game, someone like Pacheco in the flats, catching screen passes, you know, just kind of leaking out of the backfield after pass protection, catching passes like that. He's going to be really dangerous in open field, especially because teams are going to have to defend them down the field.
And here's the best thing about it, Chris. They have a starting running back, two Super Bowl rings, four-year contract for $3,739,000, $79,000 signing bonus. So your average salary is $934,000 for a guy that's your top running back. And this is how you're good. You pay your quarterback that, you got to rely on the draft, and you need seventh-round picks like Isaiah Pacheco to come out and say, but $934,000 for a starting running back, that's damn good.
That's a great investment for a starting running back, helping you win games. And this is, like, it's the reason why teams don't want to invest at running back, because you know that you don't have to use a first round pick to get a good running back. You can use a second day pick. You can do what the Chiefs didn't use a third day pick, seventh round pick.
And this year was just undrafted guys, and we think that one of those guys is going to make the team.
Right.
Carson Steele.
Yeah, exactly. So and maybe two of those guys if Denarik Prince ends up making the team as well. There's a lot of options there.
I'm going to see some Monty Bailey run too. You know, we'll see him a lot.
He'll probably get a lot of touches with like third team.
Had a bad combine.
Yeah, he didn't have a good combine, but yeah, you could probably see him like third team getting a lot of touches there in like late third, early fourth quarter. He'll get touches then. But yeah, I mean, I do think that third running back spot is going to be wide open, and I think someone's really going to put in the work to earn it.
Here's Mahomes about his different pieces on offense.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if we can hit people deep, it's going to make the safeties get back, and then they'll open up more space in that medium part of the field. And, I mean, y'all have seen Rasheed's had a great camp, and so has Travis. So has guys like Noah and Wiley. I mean, if you can open it up down the field with those speed guys, that threat opens the whole entire field up. And so I'm excited for it. As well as just letting those speed guys work in that intermediate range as well. And so it's about being having a diverse offense, being able to go out there and attack in different ways. And I'm excited for the opportunity to go out there and show it.
And I do feel this way. And Isaiah Pacheco, he's going to have a good year. And last year the Chiefs threw the ball a lot under 10 yards. It was like that for the Chiefs. They didn't really take the top off defenses, but this year I think...
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
They will, so that safety won't be creeping up anymore. So Isaiah Pacheco should have some open running lanes. And I can't wait to get him out in space because we've seen glimpses of that in the past, Chris. But seeing his 4.37 speed, you haven't fully been able to realize that yet because he gets caught or whatever, but he does have that 4.37 breakaway speed.
I think a lot of people forget that because he is such a violent runner. Like, a lot of people just assume he's just your traditional power back. But yeah, he's got wheels on him. He's got some good speed to him. And I think that's the thing that is going to be so much fun to watch this year if Hollywood and Xavier really kind of pan out as legitimate deep threats, because there's going to be a lot more open field for Rashi, for Kelsey,
who, by the way,
for
Pacheco. Really good.
Yeah. We're talking about Rashi?
Rashi. Well,
both of them have looked great, but yeah, Rashi's looked really, really good in camp, which is one of the things that I was really interested in seeing, is like, okay, how does he look in year two when expectations are here now? Now it's like, last year he had no expectations. It was like, hey, if you can do something cool. Now it's like, we're looking at you to produce this year. We're hoping that you get 1,000 yards this year. So if he could do that, that's going to be really awesome, because if he can eat up underneath, if Hollywood and Xavier can kill down the field, then it's going to open things up for guys like Kelsey and Pacheco to really tear teams apart. And then we will probably see that little pitch play that they've been doing,
right,
the little hook and ladder they've been doing with Kelsey and Pacheco. And if that happens, they do it in a big spot. That could win them a game, just like it almost happened with Kadarius in that Bills game if he hadn't stepped offside.
Here's Mahomes on the wide receiver room and the competitiveness there. Play this, then we'll react to it after the break.
What I've loved the most is how much they root for each other. I mean, you can see it out there. I mean, when guys make plays, everybody's going out there to celebrate. And we have a lot of good guys that are playing hard and all making plays against a great defense. And so it's not always going to be perfect. It's not always going to be the perfect play or whatever like that, but they're all competing every single time. They're rooting for each other, and that's what you want in the receiving room, is a good group of guys that are talented.
And that's something I can't wait to see. We'll talk about that next. I got Drew Nixon coming up from Coding Gold, the producer there, about some college football at 7:30. But we'll react to Mahomes next. And by the way, this Panthers game still sucks. Bye.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Oh, can't wait for 96.5 The Fan. Dustman and Fesco there talking about Thursday's transition on the FM dial. Weren't they going to put a bathroom over here now because we're technically FM?
No. 98.1's FM.
I know. KBZ's FM. And then,
yeah.
But now,
no, they're not. No.
Pretty much the whole place is now.
We still got to walk to the other side.
Whole place is basically now. By the way, Chris Warren Sharp, I just retweeted it. A look at the new first down technology to replace the chain gangs. Damn, man. I like this, man. They're showing it up on the Jumbotron, how far you are from the first down. I'm digging this, man.
I hope that they find some way to add the drama to it. Because that's the only holdup I have with the chain gang, is that there's drama. Whenever they stretch those things out to do a measurement, That part is, it has value for TV.
So maybe stretch it out there on the Jumbotron and then finally put
it out there. Have some sort of animation. Just do that. Some sort of animation that we get, like some sort of 3D. Kind of like what we get with, like, I don't know if you've been watching the Olympics, but like with volleyball, they'll have it. They've obviously had it in tennis for like a decade or so. Something like that. That would be great.
I'm with you on that. That is kind of fun, but I do like the accuracy of what this is. But there was nothing better than both teams standing around there waiting for them to pull the chains completely out.
Especially like, because it was theatrical, especially like the time where they had to use an index card to find the space between the ball and the down marker. So like that was really cool. The theatrics of the chain measurement are a very big part of the game. And so I think taking that out, it might hurt the game. So you got to have something that has some sort of value that adds suspense to those moments when we're trying to figure out if someone got a first down.
Well, it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be something to watch on Saturday. That and the new kickoff rule. I mean, it gives you some redeeming value to watch preseason football.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to watch anyways.
Like, I know you are.
And I'm going to have preseason football on. They're probably going to have like a noon game on NFL Network, because that's what they did last year when they had it like pretty much all day. They had preseason games on. So I'm going to be watching these preseason games all day on Saturday, and they'll probably have a game on Sunday. It's cool that they are broadcasting more of these games now, because before, if you didn't watch it, you know, then you had to wait for them to do the replay.
ESPN Plus, you can get them all.
Yeah. So
NFL Plus.
Yeah, NFL Plus, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, we got this awful Patriots and Panthers game. 7-0 with 2.5 minutes to go in the second quarter.
Jack Plummer needs to turn it up.
but it's football. Football's football, you know.
Hey, it's August. You know what? Oktoberfest beer is out right now too, Chris. And I know that you're not as big a beer guy as
I am. Not
a
big beer. I'm a liquor guy.
But it makes me happy. It makes me really happy that I can go and see 10 to 12 different kinds of Oktoberfest beers. I'm a big fan of Oktoberfest. I ended up getting some Mother's Oktoberfest from Springfield. I know we got somebody that listens from down there and that goes to Mother's all the time. Plus, I grabbed some Sam Adams Oktoberfest too, which is still king of the hill as far as Oktoberfest, in my opinion.
I believe the only time I've ever had Sam Adams was at your house.
It's not a shocker, because I usually have it around.
Yeah, I think that's the only time I've ever had a Sam Adams. I've never had a Sam Adams any other time. Well, at your house.
Like last winter, I mean, buy a lot of it.
Yeah,
and because they have one like supply, and they'll drop it off, and then that was it for winter lager.
Yeah.
Like it didn't keep coming in on trucks. Like when Mother's Winter Grind kept coming in, because I would go Mother's Winter Grind, Sam Adams Winter Lager, and the Boulevard Nutcracker Ale. And I'd have those kind of circulating back and forth. That's because I love winter beer.
You love the seasonal beer.
I'm all about
You're a big seasonal beer guy.
I'll switch to winter. Usually it comes out at the end of July. 913-586-7610. What's your favorite Oktoberfest beer? Hell, Shinerbach makes it now, too. Like, they all make it now. Like, Oktoberfest is in. It used to be you had to fight over some Sam Adams and stuff like that. Now everybody's making one.
Yeah, I'll stick to my whiskey.
I know you will. But big I do whiskey, like my Oktoberfest beer.
I do. Like, if I'm going to drink beer, I'm going to drink something that's higher alcohol content. You know, so like, something like a Tank 7 or something like that. That's usually what I do.
It's a good beer. It's a very good beer. I like the high ABV, too. But typically, winter beers and October beers have a higher ABV, completely have a higher ABV than regular beers that you hammer or smash, like I do Coors Light, kind of at a record pace. Coming up next, though, Drew Nixon from Coding Gold, the producer, talking some college football with Chris and I next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Chris Sinocero. Zach texts in. He says he likes Mother's Winter Grind when it comes out. He doesn't mind Yingling's Oktoberfest because they've got that out too. Forgot about that one. Sam Adams Oktoberfest and Sam Adams Winter Stamp isn't bad either. Also some Nutcracker from Boulevard when it comes out. Zach knows his beer. He won the Cody and Gold garage sale. We'll go out and drink some beer for the beer tasting.
Yeah, I think I saw him tweet that out.
Zach did. He's that's second time winning. He had the other one where we had Three Trails. We'll be at Center Block this time. He's a big Bama fan. Him and his dad, Rama Jamma Yellowhammer, Roll Tide Roll. I'm sure he's going to be going for that. But now we'll go to the producer on one hell, it's going to be 96.5 The Fan next week.
You're just getting your frequencies messed
well,
up.
Well, it's 96.5 The Fan next week. It's they'll be on 610 Sports as well. 610 The Fan 610 AM. He's also the host of 249 Miles of Football on the Odyssey Sports Podcast Network, like we are as well with Character Concerns. Phil Steele joined him this past week on the podcast, so you can go download it there online or on the app, or you can go to 435 Podcast Network on the website. What's up, Drew Daddy?
What's up, Vink? How's it going?
That's what it said when you called in. It said Drew Canadian Football Daddy for your caller ID. How do people change these things?
I don't know. It's something that we can do in the production room, I think, in the studio.
Mine says Bing Daddy.
Yours does. I don't know who gave it to you, but yeah, yours
says Bing Daddy.
I think you gave it to me, Bing, because evidently I'm a Canadian Football League fan.
Well, you left your Twitter open.
I know I did. Yeah, that is what I get for leaving it open, I guess.
You're lucky he didn't put something worse on there. Don't do that.
I am. I'm very lucky.
Usually I don't do that, so I thought that was innocent enough. Because maybe you do like the CFL. It is in action right now, so the CFL, it actually goes, I think, 8 months is what the CFL goes. But college football is starting here at the end of the month, Drew, and I'm sure you're as excited as Chris and I. And you watch these preseason games, and it's very sloppy, like the Panthers and Patriots going at it. But college football, man, it is go time on August 24th for week zero, Florida State and Georgia Tech. There's no screwing around. You just got to be able to play. How excited are you for the 24th? Are you more excited when the local teams get in action?
For college football in general, the excitement meter is at an 11 out of 10.
I like that.
Pumped. I'll be watching every second of the Florida State Georgia Tech game and all throughout the 24th. But I think, I mean, getting into the local stuff as well, it starts the 24th, but with week zero, obviously. But once you get to August 29th on Thursday, that's when week one, the rollout begins, and all eyes will be locked in on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah, Missouri plays their first game against Murray State to begin things with. There's some, and then Lindenwood versus Kansas on that same day on the 29th, so you can see that as well. You still buying into Kansas? I know a lot of people are. Are you still on Kansas State? Because I'm still looking at this division. I'm still going Kansas State.
If I were to pick a team right now, I would say Kansas State. But I do think, I mean, and one of the things that we just did in the podcast that came out yesterday, 249 Miles of Football Podcast, is we're doing previews now, and it was all about KU. And what I tried to do is focus on the team as they are right now. We know the potential. We know that Jalen Daniels' health is a huge thing. But right now, as they stand, Jalen Daniels is healthy. And I think that's what you can go off of. When you look at on paper, the roster is built to contend for a Big 12 championship. So I'm a believer that they can be in the mix. It ultimately is going to come down to Jalen Daniels' health. And that was something that Phil Steele said as well, is that, you know, the ultimate key is Jalen Daniels' health. And he said that if he's not healthy, KU can be 10th or worse in the conference. If he is healthy, they could win the whole thing and go on to the college football playoff. So a lot of it depends on Jalen Daniels' health. But I'm a believer, at least for right now. But I think K-State, from a talented perspective, top to bottom on the roster, they've got to be favored over KU to win the Big 12 right now.
Yeah, their running game's going to be ridiculous. I think it's going to come down to that October 26th game, Kansas traveling to Manhattan. That game is going to be so instrumental, I think, in the Big 12.
I think it's interesting that KU, you know, they don't have a game in Lawrence technically, and how much is that going to impact them? I don't think it will too much necessarily. Them being able to take care of business, though, at home, you look at the schedule, they have one of the lighter schedules in the Big 12 that, I mean, to your point, Bink, that is a game that, you know, KU will have circled on the calendar, K-State will as well, obviously, for the rivalry standpoint. But if KU wants to solidify themselves as a Big 12 title contender, if they want to be in that game, I think they have to go into Manhattan and they got to win that game. That's going to be one of the games of the seasons for both of those teams, but for KU in particular, because the schedule's so light. I mean, K-State's the best team that they play.
Not only that, but K-State, you know, you have a chance at Oklahoma State just 3 weeks before that, September 28th. So those two games right there, when I'm looking, you know, at the powers to be in Iowa State's at the end of the year, we'll see how good they end up being. Utah is not on that schedule at this point. The one of the favorites there, of course, in the Big 12. But man, are you who are you buying in the Big 12 if it's not Kansas or Kansas State?
Oklahoma State is tough to pass on because they've got a lot of experience coming back. Alan Bowman, a guy that's been around college football forever, it seems like. Ollie Gordon, obviously being one of the best.
He has been. This is his 15th year, Drew.
Yeah, he's been in a while.
Yeah. He might be 30 years old for all we know.
He got the COVID 8 years.
Right. I think that Utah is still a team. It's easy to look past Utah, I think. Cam Rising, another guy that, speaking of age, is also up there. His health has been a little bit of a question mark the last 2 years since he tore that ACL and getting back to being fully healthy. But Kyle Whittingham has always done a really good job, I think, of getting the most out of his teams, going back to, you know, when he was in the Pac-12 and going to the Rose Bowls. They couldn't get one done, but he always gets the most out of his group. And they're favored for a reason, I think, and it all comes down to Cam Rising. But the Utah are a team that I think a lot of people assume are going to be really good, but they're not paying – I don't think they're getting as much attention maybe that they should be garnering at this point of the preseason getting into the lead-up to – August 31st. I think the Utes are the team to watch, really, in the conference outside of KU and K-State.
Obviously, the team that's going to get the most primetime box office coverage from all the different sports media organizations is going to be Colorado, just, you know, rejoining the Big 12 after being out for over a decade. Do you think that they're going to be able to live up to the hype that they've had here in the offseason? Obviously, they really like them on, like, NCAA, a lot of high ratings for the players there. And, you know, Dion and them have been getting tons of press coverage. How do you feel Colorado's going to fare in their first year back in the Big 12?
Well, Bink and I, Chris, were looking at one of the key games in week one, one of the bigger games.
We talked about that early in the show.
It's on ESPN. Everybody's going to be watching because it's Colorado. But North Dakota State, the Bison, that is going to be an interesting game to watch. I think Colorado's expectations this year should be a bowl game. There's some people, Joe Klatt, I think, I don't know if he had them winning the Big 12, but he had them in the conversation. 9-3, I think he might have had them going, which is, I think, a little bit too overzealous. I would say 6-6, 7-5, that's a good season for Dion to further build the program. Obviously, it's tough to win a conference title game doing everything through the portal, which is what Dion's doing once again. Offensive line should be better. The defense should be better. They couldn't get much worse than they were last year, though. So I think a good season for Dion in Colorado would be 6-6, 7-5, get into a bowl game, maybe win the bowl game, and you're feeling good about yourselves. But I wouldn't say any more than 7-5. The schedule plays out relatively well in terms of who they play at home versus on the road, but there's some tough games that stand out. I mean, on the road at Nebraska is always a little bit difficult because of that environment. They play K-State on the road at Arizona. They play Utah at home.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
KU, Oklahoma State at home. I mean, the schedule is not easy for Colorado. So I'd say 7-5 is a really good season. A bowl game is the expectation.
So, you say six, seven wins, good season for them. But is that going to be considered a good season for them, considering all the hype that's surrounding the team, considering the fact that they might have two first-round picks on their roster this season with Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders? Like, is the media going to treat it like it's a good season, or are they going to be underwhelmed by it and kind of start to see some pressure for him to get some better results or he's gone?
I think they'll be a little bit underwhelmed by it, but I think them getting off to the start that they did last year and then just falling apart was something that it was a gut check for them. I think for everybody nationally, for fans, it was like, oh, okay, this is the real Colorado team. We got to remind ourselves that they were 1-11 the year before. They go 4-8 now. So I think it will be a little bit underwhelming if they only go 6-6 or 7-5. But I think in context, people will look at it and say, you know what, this is a really solid season, continuing to build up. Now, again, what happens after Shedeur leaves and after Travis Hunter leaves? I mean, that's the interesting question, I think. Does Deion look elsewhere? I'm sure that other programs in college football in the Power Four would love to have a guy that has the aura, if you will, of a Deion Sanders. But for Colorado this year, I think 7-6, 7-5 is good enough. But I do think it is a little bit underwhelming, to your point, Chris, just because of all the expectation and hype and the social media videos and all the stuff that they bring.
Drew, we've talked about this on Character Concerns with Travis Hunter, obviously one of those electric players in college football. Do you see him at the next level on offense or defense or both?
I think.
Or what would you do?
It's interesting. I don't see him as both. I think he can do both. I think he might do punt returns along with whatever position he chooses. I think he'd be better at corner. He can be like that Jalen Ramsey guy where he might, or he's not like Trent McDuffie necessarily. Like, he might get beat a couple times, but he's going to make plays. He'll be like Quandre Diggs, where he might have 7-8 picks in a season, but he's given up yards as well a little bit. I think corner, he can be the most. I think corner is where he can be useful the most, because you don't get as many great corners as you do maybe wide receivers. Money-wise, I think wide receiver is the option that he should be choosing if he wants the most money. But I would say cornerback. A lot of people would say wide receiver who I've talked to about it, though. So I think you can go good either way, I guess, in this case with Travis Hunter.
What did you have for Travis, Chris? I can't remember what you said.
Wide receiver. Just because the way I see it is, like, I think the skill set fits better with him as a wide
receiver.
Although
at Jackson State, he was better on defense than
right,
he was
yeah, I mean, but that was before. Yeah. Like, I think now he's a better receiver. But also, I think for him, it's a safer pick to go wide receiver than it is corner, because corner is one of those positions you can get exposed real quick. Like receiver, yeah. There's ways that teams can scheme you in to use you to a point where you can make money doing that. But it's so much harder to get schemed in as a corner.
It's a good point. I think that Chris might have just sold me. I think I'm like on the line, really. I lean corner, but I get all of the reasons why you would put him at wide receiver. Which is never going to happen. If he could play both, he would play both. But
yeah, I think so too.
Carrington asked me earlier today when I was on with him who I think maybe the dark horse team is that can win the college football playoff. And it's tough to say what a dark horse is. I had Ole Miss, but they're sixth in the coaches' poll. I could see, you know, possibly Missouri sitting at 11th or even 9th, Penn State to be that surprise team. I'm talking about going outside of Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Bama, going outside the usual suspects there. I really liked Ole Miss. I like Penn State, and I like Missouri.
I think there's one team, and this is, it's more of a dark horse, and I can't believe
maybe
I'm
LSU
because yeah, I think LSU would be a solid pick. So this team's inside the top 10. I can't believe I'm saying this because I can't stand. There's two teams that I can't stand in college football. One of them is Ohio State, and one of them is Notre Dame. Notre Dame is going to be really,
I feel you.
Really good.
Well, Will Howard ended up starting at Ohio State, Drew.
Yeah. Ohio State is going to be a juggernaut. I think they might make I think if I were to pick a team right now to win the whole thing, I think Ohio State is the team that I would pick if I had to right now.
I like Igbuka and Junkins.
Yeah. I think Notre Dame though is a team to watch, where they're a little bit more of a dark horse, because every single time they play in a big game, they've been like the Dallas Cowboys, and it seems like they just aren't good enough. But I think that there's something. Marcus Freeman's done a great job with them. They got Riley Leonard over from Duke. They've got a ton of playmakers. On the defense is going to be nasty. I think that they're going to be in the playoff for sure. Can't get a bye because they're not in a conference, but they're a team to watch. I think that could potentially surprise and maybe contend to win the whole thing.
Man, I saw on X where Will Howard, they clocked him at 22 miles an hour, if you believe that.
Sure, but it doesn't matter.
I've clocked you that too, Drew.
I did. Well, I'm sure you guys saw this as well. Did you see what he recently said, according to On Three, about his time at K-State?
No, I didn't see that. About which Well,
Will Howard recently went on, or according to On3, I don't know if he was on a podcast or what exactly he was on, but according to On3, Will Howard described what makes Ohio State different than K-State, and he said, quote, "I don't feel like I have to be a hero here, and I feel like I have the guys around me
okay,
where I can just facilitate." I mean, he was throwing some blows at K-State.
Yeah, I heard that, but it's going to be interesting to watch him for sure. But
translation, I had to actually be good at Kansas State, and I don't have teammates to help pick my game up and make it easy for me. I think that's what he was trying to say.
I think which I do think is fair. However, I think he already being at Ohio State creates expectations. If for whatever reason he gets in and he's having a little bit of a hard time, it's going to be really difficult on him from a fan perspective, because, and not to say Kansas State fans aren't harsh on their players or they don't have expectations, but at Ohio State it's a little bit different. So I think there's more pressure. While he does have better weapons, maybe you could argue, or the best running back in the country, or one of the best running backs in the country, you have to step up your game as well, and you can't be average. You can't have off games.
Otherwise, Devin Brown's still in the mix there, you know, at Ohio State. So if he slips for a little bit, maybe Devin Brown. I mean, there's been a quarterback battle there. But 249 miles of football. You can catch the podcast, 610sports.com, the app, soon 96.5 The Fan, and, of course, on the website as well. Drew, we'll see you tomorrow, my friend.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Bing. Thanks, Chris.
Take care, Drew. Drew Nixon.
I didn't know that Will Howard was talking trash.
I hadn't heard that either.
I was like, really, Will? You?
I was just trying to look that up, that podcast and stuff like that.
I remember watching him early in the season when they was playing teams that weren't really that good, and he was just chucking the ball down the field against cover three. And I was like, bro, like, that's your fault. That's not the receiver's fault. That's not the line's fault. That's your fault, because you chucked it down there when they had a bracket on your receiver. Why would you do that?
Like, he also has very high Heisman odds.
I know. I watched, like, ESPN put something up on their website, like, top 25 most important players for college football this year. And they had Graham Mertz at like 16, which was a little surprising. But they had Will Howard as number one. And I was like, really? Like, and I understand he transferred to Ohio State and all that. I get it. But, like, I watched this guy play at Kansas State. He's not a bad quarterback. But, like, that's a lot. That's a lot of expectations for him. And I know, like, he's trying to passively blame Kansas State for his struggles turning over the football. But that's not Kansas State's fault that he was turning over the football. That's his fault.
The latest news on Will Howard, he's separating in the quarterback battle. But they said watch out for the five-star true freshman Julian Sain, who's also turning some heads.
If he loses his job at some point this season, he's going to look like a bozo for saying all this stuff that he's been saying about Kansas State.
But I'll tell you his Heisman odds when we come back.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Hey, welcome back. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. Short segment here before we get to the top of the hour, but Heisman odds, Will Howard, fourth in the Heisman odds right now. It's Dylan Gabriel, who's now transferred from Oklahoma after he was ECF. He transferred to Oregon.
He's going to be with
Evan Stewart out there, wide receiver. It's going to be good. Carson Beck at Georgia is number two. Quinn Ewers at number three in that situation. And Will Howard, number four. Who's your dark horse team, I guess, Chris? Maybe somebody not in what you'd say is the usual pack of teams?
Man,
because I went Ole Miss, even though, I mean, they're six in the
Ole Miss has got a lot of talent.
They do, but they're not quote in that club. No. You know what I'm saying?
I like Arizona. I think Arizona's got some. They got some talent over there. Arizona, I think it'll be pretty good. Ole Miss is a really strong option there. Don't sleep on them. I like LSU. LSU's always really, really talented.
I like Penn State, too. I like Drew Aller.
Yeah, I like Penn State. I like Notre Dame as well. Like, I think Riley Leonard could be a better version of what Sam Hartman was for them last year. Like, way better. And, Cam Ward at Miami. Don't sleep on them either, because Cam Ward's he was a very good quarterback when he was at Washington State. Yeah, he was really good at Washington State. So
DJ Uiagalelei is at Florida State.
I'm not buying that, because DJ Uiagalelei he's been traveling around. He wasn't really that great at Oregon State last year. We talked about him all last season, like he was going to do something, and then, it didn't really do a whole lot. So I'm not buying the Uiagalelei thing anymore. There's a reason why Clemson didn't keep him. There's a reason why he had to transfer. He's now had to transfer a couple of times, so I'm not quite buying that. But I think the thing I'm so excited by is just how wide open it seems this year. Like, usually with the college football playoff, it's like, okay, there's like two teams. But I think, and this is like, a lot of people have like complained about this over the years, and this is the reason why they didn't want the college football playoff to expand, because they're like, oh, well, there's no parity anyways. I think there's going to be parity this year. I think we might see a big upset where one of those teams that won their conference loses.
A lot of smaller schools have the big nil now.
Nowadays, like, NIL has allowed for talent to not just stick in one place. So the reason why Nick Saban retired, because he didn't want to have to compete to keep his players that he recruited on his team, because they could just transfer whenever they want, you know, every year, just, you know, wherever they want to. He didn't want to have to compete with that anymore. I get it. Like, it's just not for him. It's not his game anymore. It's a different time. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's really hard to stockpile talent now. You have to be a great influencer to keep these guys. So there's going to be more parity. And these guys, like, somebody's going to upset one of these conference winners that we see during the quarterfinals of the college football playoff. It's going to happen. I'm very, very dead set on the belief that that's going to happen. And when it happens, it's going to shock everybody, and immediately everybody's going to be like, yes, this was the best decision we could have had to have the college football playoff expand to 12.
Arizona's going to be interesting because Brent Burnham takes over as head coach there. Was at San Jose State, because they lose Jed Fish, was a really good coach, to Washington when Kalen DeBoer went to Alabama, the Dominoes. But Tedrow McMillan, best receiver in the Big 12
probably,
in Arizona.
Probably... I mean, you could argue him or Travis Hunter. I think he's one of the top three receivers in the country right now.
Like, and he's big too. He's six.
He's basically Mike Evans size. You know, he's a Drake London, Mike Evans type. Really, really huge receiver. A lot of people think he's a little bit faster than those guys are. So that'll be interesting to see what he does this year. But he's going to be a guy that gets talked about a lot this year because of that size disparity with him and DBs. They've got some talent over there.
I just got a text from my dude Mark Schwinn. Owns Mama Loca's down in Ash Grove. Last year, he said he had 16 different kinds of Oktoberfest, and he had 5 different whiskeys in house that they make. Actually been there.
Where's this at?
Down in near Springfield.
Oh, man.
When I went down there last year, my uncle and went to Mother's Brewing and stuff. I did go to Ash Grove and Mama Loca's, and it's a lot of good beer there. Mark's a big beer guy, so
yeah,
always appreciate. He's a former Springfield police officer, and he runs Mama Loca's. At this point, Luther Burden, yes. Luther Burden is going to be fantastic in the SEC, the best SEC receiver.
I think Burden's going to be the top receiver in this draft class.
I agree with you there.
I think a lot of people think it's Travis Hunter. No, I think it's going to be Burden. That kid, he was special last year. I remember seeing him in person when they played Florida at Faro. I traveled over to Como to go see him, and man, he's a special receiver. And I was like, man, like, he probably would have been the second or third receiver taken in the draft.
I like Burden, year. Isaiah Bond. I like Evan Stewart.
Bond's going to be.
Tess Johnson. I like both Oregon's receivers.
Yeah, but Oregon's got two really good ones. Texas has a couple really good ones. You brought up Isaiah Bond. Bond's going to be a guy that gets a lot of run as far as being a first round wide receiver. That 40 times going to be big because he is as Xavier Worthy type speedster. I don't know if he's as fast as Xavier Worthy. I would guess not.
That's who his comp is Worthy.
That's going to be really interesting to see. But yeah, if he looks real good, like somebody, if Xavier looks really good this year, I think someone's going to be like, we got to go get those speedsters at Texas. Let's go up and trade up and go get this Bond kid.
Yeah, I like Isaiah Bond too. I think he's going to be fun to watch. Take a timeout. We come back. Contenders or pretenders in the National Football League. Somebody's not going to make it. Somebody is. It's what happens every year in the NFL.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.